In Paris, tens of thousands of police and military personnel have been called in to protect the opening ceremony of the Summer Olympics. Officials say they are investigating coordinated attacks on France's high-speed rail lines that have paralyzed travel just as the crowds try to reach the River Seine for the opening ceremony, all on boats. NPR's Becky Sullivan is there.
I gotta say, the Olympic fever here is in full force. You have been able to catch some glimpses of little rehearsals happening, like dancers on rooftops and such. It's been a little gloomy and rainy today, so we're all hoping that it's going to clear up in time, because it really should be a spectacle, this whole thing, with the backdrop of Paris, the Eiffel Tower, all right at sunset, should things work out.
Celine Dion and Lady Gaga singing at tonight's
exactly.
opening ceremony cannot not happen. All right, now, it wouldn't be an Olympic Games without some controversy, including a war of words between the U.S. and the International Olympic Committee on the issue of doping. What's going on with that?
So this dates back to this spring when revelations came out that 23 Chinese swimmers had failed doping tests in the months before the Tokyo Olympics back in 2021. And at the time, the World Anti-Doping Agency, which is deeply tied to the IOC, knew about it but allowed them to compete anyway. And so three of those swimmers won gold medals, and several of them will compete here in Paris. U.S. officials have accused WADA essentially of just deference to China. The United States Department of Justice has opened an investigation into this. And in response this week, the IOC officials attacked U.S. officials during a session about the Salt Lake City bid for the 2034 Winter Olympics. The IOC has attached a rider to the contract to host those Olympics, basically allowing them to yank it back if this whole thing escalates, which just yesterday, the leaders of three congressional committees and subcommittees sent a letter putting WADA on notice. And so it's a mess. Not sure exactly where this is going to go yet.
All right. Now, we mentioned how the Olympic ceremony is tonight, the opening ceremony. Games, though, those are underway. Team
That's
USA
right.
Women's Soccer opened up with a 3-0 win over Zambia. So, Becky, what are you looking most forward to see when you're there in Paris?
Well, let me answer this question, actually, in the eyes of Team USA basketball star Steph Curry, who, as you know, is a huge megastar in the U.S. He's a four-time NBA champion for the Golden State Warriors. But here in Paris, he is actually making his very first Olympic appearance.
When you get around the other athletes, it's like we're all representing our country, and the NBA stuff didn't make us any different, you know, than the next guy or girl to our left or our right. It's, we all got the same colors, the same outfits, same letters across your chest.
So he went on to say that he's looking forward to seeing some events in between his busy basketball schedule. He's looking forward to swimming. He's looking forward to gymnastics. I share that anticipation. Swimming in particular kicks off tomorrow with a huge race, which is the women's 400-meter freestyle, which is this like clash of giants between the U.S. star Katie Ledecky, Australia's Ariane Titmus, Canada's Summer McIntosh. That's just like a massive headliner event. And then gymnastics, the big women's team final led by Simone Biles and the rest of Team USA. That's going to be Tuesday. So overall, like Steph, I should say, it's my first Olympics, too. And so I'm going to be trying to take his advice. He said, be where your feet are. I'm going to try to be taking it all in and enjoying it.
I can't wait to see if Noah Lyles can complete the 100-meter, 200-meter sprint Olympic gold. That'll be what I'm looking forward to seeing.
Absolutely.
NPR's Becky Sullivan in Paris. Becky, thank you.
You're so welcome.
Time now for StoryCorps. 60 years ago, civil rights groups organized summer schools for African-American kids across Mississippi. These freedom schools were held in churches, barns, and backyards. They covered everything from poetry to voting rights. Today, we hear from six freedom school students, now in their 70s.
My regular classes, you never was allowed to just express yourself. I could never have gone to my English class in school and said that I saw the KKK riding down the street with the hoods on, trying to run my little brother off the highway.
Yeah. And you know, Dad had a third grade education. He couldn't read and write, but he could listen.
Yeah.
It gave him joy to see us learning. He was very receptive to whatever I wanted to tell him. Sometimes it might be a poem. I remember they was doing this play called Waiting for Godot. And he told me, who is this Godot fella? I said, I don't know, but it sounds like it's fun.
That was the first time we really interacted with white mm-hmm. people. We had never seen white folks that were caring for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because every white person we saw wasn't putting out a hand.
Friendly.
They would get back, boy, get off the sidewalk.
Right. And my mom worked in Caucasian homes. She cleaned and she cooked. They get her and bring her back home. And when I'd run out there to meet her, she'd be saying, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. And it just irritated me. Why are you doing that? She's younger than you. But at Freedom School, the teacher would say, you don't have to say yes, sir, to me. You don't have to do that. My name is Dick. Don't do that.
It was like a turning point for us.
That's right. There was a spirit about the Freedom Schools that was just palpable.
Right. They wanted to desegregate places like the zoo and the library.
Yeah. Those are the things we were concerned about, being able to sit downstairs at the Sanger Theater and have access to all that candy. I remember we generated some courage after Freedom School one day. We decided white water fountain, colored water fountain, we were going to deal with that.
Okay.
So we posted lookouts. We all went and drank from that cool white water fountain. We just fill ourselves up, knowing that it could be dangerous. We were thinking that we have rights, but we knew that those rights were being violated. And that water tasted so sweet. It was so cool. Riding home, we were just proud of ourselves. Freedom School so emboldened us and gave us a sense of what was possible.
That was Don Denard, Glenda Funches, Deborah Carr, Stephanie Hose, Teresa Clark Banks, and Julia Clark Ward. They all spoke with StoryCorps in Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from Subaru, featuring the 2025 Subaru Outback Wilderness. With standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and all-terrain tires, it's designed for paths not yet taken. Learn more at Subaru.com/wilderness. And from Dignity Memorial, helping families protect their loved ones and gain peace of mind by planning cremations and funerals in advance. Dedicated to professionalism and compassion in every detail. More at DignityMemorial.com.